Hello, this is Reverend Judith Laxer. Thank you for listening to the podcast of our service entitled Artemis the Untamed. My wish is that the food for thought offered brings great nourishment for your soul. Our ministry for the goddess is supported solely by those like you who partake of its teachings. We are currently running our annual pledge drive. If you feel served by listening, please go to our website, www.gaiastemple.org. Click on Support Us to make your pledge, and then push the donate button and give generously now. We'd be most grateful. Thank you, and blessed be. Blessed be. Thank you so much. So I call the service today Artemis the Untamed, and I want to speak about this beautiful Greek maiden goddess of the hunt and of the moon. In Greece, she was known as Artemis. In Rome, she was known as Diana, but the same goddess. And she is of the hunt and of the moon, which speaks to both her wildness and her psyche, and how psychic she is, how strongly intuitive she is, because she is so deeply aligned with the moon. So the symbols of this huntress, and I have this beautiful statue here that I'm going to show you. This is Artemis. There she is with her bow, and I don't know how clearly you can see it, but all along here, that's the first crescent moon of the new moon, which we see in the sky when she's new. So her symbols are the bow and the arrow, Diana's bow. In fact, that first crescent moon is called Diana's bow. It's always low on the horizon, and it's always a very quick moon set. As the moon waxes, she stays higher in the sky longer and longer, but that new moon just kind of comes up over the horizon, and then she sets pretty quickly. So you'll see her right at twilight. So that symbol is of the goddess, as well as a quiver of arrows and her bow, hunting dogs, also the pack, and deer of the forest, representing the wild as well. And also Artemis in particular, from the Greek pantheon, is known by the nymphs in the woods also. She seems to travel both with a pack of dogs and nymphs in the woods. So I kind of find that interesting. And part of me wonders, are these like the magical wood nymphs, the spirit of the trees? Or are these actual young girls as nymphs? And so it just brings to mind to me, because so much of what ends up in our quote unquote mythology usually is part of, has come from a culture on some level. And so I wonder if Artemis, who is also known as a fierce protectress of the young, if perhaps these nymphs were orphans, or they were young women who unfortunately were in danger, as most young women are, as most women are, or have been for centuries and centuries. Hopefully that's ending now. And so is Artemis perhaps their protectress? And so perhaps these young women who were with her in the forest were there because she was protecting them out in the wild places away from civilization where they might be a danger, providing them a safe space, which is so interesting to me because now we have come to look at the wildness as dangerous. Like, oh, that, you know, we're in danger when we're out there in the forest, instead of, no, that's where we're safest. So Artemis was the daughter of Leto and Zeus. How many children did Zeus have? By so many different mothers. And because his wife Hera is kind of known for her jealousy, no one dared help Leto when she was giving birth. And so she gave birth on her own, and she gave birth to Artemis first, who immediately jumped up and midwived her mother as her twin brother Apollo was born. So immediately we see upon her incarnation, she is there as a helper and a protector of the most vulnerable. Could there be anything more vulnerable than a mother giving birth? And so now to this day, women will pray to Artemis when they are in childbirth to help them, to help ease the pain of childbirth and to protect them as they bring forth their child. And interestingly enough, there is an herb called Artemisia, and it's used for many different things, but one of its properties is that it's an analgesic, and so it is used for pain relief. And so midwives use Artemisia in their work, which I just love that little connection there. So Artemis was the protectress of the young and the vulnerable, and therefore she is also associated with the bear, and particularly mother bears, because there is no fiercer creature than a mother bear protecting her cubs. And her preference as a being in the world, of course, was for the wild. She had a predisposition toward egalitarianism and brotherly relationships with men, sisterly relationships with women, very, very much unlike Aphrodite, whom I spoke about last month here. She preferred sort of egalitarian, mostly not love or lover type relationships. And she vowed never to marry, to remain one in herself, which was the original meaning of the word virgin. So the word virgin didn't necessarily mean someone who had never had sex, but originally it meant one who did not give themselves away or give their power away through the act of loving another. So in other words, we're talking about being sovereign, whole unto yourself, one into yourself. So, I just recently reread Jean Shinoda Bolen's book called Artemis, The Indomitable Spirit in Every Woman. And she says this, and of course, I couldn't have said it better, so I'm just going to read it to you. The girl or woman who does not give up on herself when others write her off as worthless. The same indomitable will that is in the girl who devotes hours and years mastering a skill or a sport or an art that takes commitment and practice. That is the energy of Artemis. Her bow and arrows are a meaningful symbol. To send an arrow to a target of your own choosing requires aim, intention, determination, focus, and power. When you can do this sort of thing, you can bring down game to feed yourself and others. You can punish your enemies. You can demonstrate confidence, metaphorically. You can take care of yourself. So that's kind of the archetype of Artemis, as that strong, brave protectress who not only takes care of herself, but also protects the vulnerable. She is a maiden goddess, and so we can look to the time of our youth and remember, most of us anyway, were pretty fearless in our youth. I was a bit of a scaredy cat from here, here or there. So it's not like we're just completely brave all the time, but we're fearless and we think we're invincible. We haven't lived long enough to know how vulnerable we actually are. So in our youth, we are brave, we are fearless, we are willing to take risks, we are curious, and we are wild. At least we are still as wild as we are until civilization and rules and regulations sort of stymie us and tell us to stop being our own wild nature. And sometimes youth can be perceived as stubborn if they don't follow those rules because they're just really following their own nature. But Artemis is not just brave because she's not yet learned to be cautious. She makes a conscious choice to stay wild and untamed. She refuses to tamp down her indomitable spirit to fit cultural norms, and instead, she follows her wild nature.
I am my mother's savage daughter, the one who runs barefoot, cursing sharp stones. I am my mother's savage daughter. I will not cut my hair. I will not lower my voice. My mother's child is a savage. She looks for her omens in the colors of stones, in the faces of cats and the fall of feathers, in the dancing of fire and the curve of old bones. I am my mother's savage daughter, the one who runs barefoot, cursing sharp stones. I am my mother's savage daughter. I will not cut my hair. I will not lower my voice. My mother's child dances in darkness. She sings heathen songs by the light of the moon, and watches the stars and renames the planets, and dreams she can reach them with a song and a broom. I am my mother's savage daughter, the one who runs barefoot, cursing sharp stones. I am my mother's savage daughter. I will not cut my hair. I will not lower my voice. We are all brought forth out of darkness into this world through blood and through pain. And deep in our bones, the old songs are waking. So sing them with voices of thunder and rain. We are our mother's savage daughters, the ones who run barefoot, cursing sharp stones. We are our mother's savage daughters. We will not cut our hair. We will not lower our voice. We are our mother's savage daughter, the one who runs barefoot, cursing sharp stones. We are our mother's savage daughters. We will not cut our hair. We will not lower our voice. We are our mother's savage daughters, the ones who run barefoot, cursing sharp stones. We are our mother's savage daughters. We will not cut our hair. We will not lower our voice.
Thank you so much, Kimberly Agbayani. Thank you. Aha. Savage. I like it. So I want to talk about the wildness a little bit, of course, and the need for the wild, particularly in our era when what we are doing is trying to annihilate what is wild as best that we can. When we look at the ecosystems, we look at any system, each part is contingent on the next. It's all part of the wholeness, and all parts are working to achieve a balance so that the system can continue. Every part is necessary for this balance. So I want to talk a little bit about Artemis's dogs now, and I imagine them really like wolves. And I remembered learning about when they reintroduced the wolves into Yellowstone National Park. And I was just reading an article in The Sun, the interview this month, or a couple of months ago, and it took almost 20 years of arguing for doing this before it was finally granted. There is such hatred for wolves among people in this country, particularly among hunters, ranchers, and farmers. And granted, everything in the wild is going to kill other animals in order to eat and survive. But the stories that have grown around how horrible wolves are just ridiculous and way beyond the truth of them. Anyway, so they have a very bad rap as predators, that almost like they're predators just for the sake of the kill, where in nature, rarely, I mean, we are the only animal in nature that kills for the sport of it. Mostly others just kill because they want to stay alive and they're hungry, and that's how they do it. So all of the wolves in Yellowstone National Park had been completely hunted out. There were none of them. And what started to happen was without them, the deer and the elk and the bison overgrazed the land. And the land became too soft to support the trees, and there went much of the wildlife. Once they were able to introduce these wolves back into the park, the deer left the areas where they would be most vulnerable, most easily hunted, like in the valleys and the gorges, and the vegetation recovered over time. Actually, it only took 6 years for this to happen. 20 years fighting to have it happen, and only six. The rivers stabilized because the tree roots were strong, growing again. And the roots of the rivers started meandering less. There was less erosion at the bank. The rivers deepened, which was better for wildlife habitat. The beavers returned, the otters returned, the bears returned, the eagles returned, the songbirds returned. Everything started to come back exactly as it should be. So it's very easy for us to judge, to look at one particular thing and say, that's bad, let's remove it. And that's what happens when we lose sight of the bigger picture, of the larger ecosystem. So again, Jean Shinoda Bolen says, wilderness beauty is sacred to Artemis. This is her landscape. To honor her requires taking care of the planet and halting excess from overpopulation to overfishing the ocean. We must limit our excesses as a sacrifice to honor the divine feminine. I'm just going to repeat that. We must limit our excesses as a sacrifice to honor the divine feminine. And if all we do is think of the divine feminine as planet Earth, that's going to make sense for every single thing. We need to take aim at the causes of our own destruction, climate change, weapons of mass destruction, war, and then follow up with strong, decisive actions. So for me, the decisive actions are to practice equality in all things, including the natural world, especially the natural world, preserving the wild and the wilderness. So, oh my goodness, I lost her last name here. Ellie, I can't remember her last name, but I will find it. Who is the ecofeminist and founding member of the German Green Party, tells us, like the mindset that places men above women, whites above blacks, the rich above poor, the mentality that places humans above nature is a dysfunctional delusion. And us waking up from that dysfunctional delusion must occur. I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but I'm speaking it anyway. So when we look at the micro view, us, what can we do? When we look at the macro view and the big systems that must remain whole, we can ask ourselves, what have we removed in ourselves that is causing our own, perhaps, systems collapse? You know, in the wise woman tradition of healing, the very first order of business is to add in what is missing, as opposed to the opposite extreme of Western medicine, for instance. And there's no judgment what's right or what's wrong. There's time and a reason for every single form of healing, and each of us get to choose what that is. But typically, Western medicine says, oh, something's wrong, let's cut it off, let's cut it out. The wise woman tradition says something is missing, let's add it in, let's nourish the good, and that will start to fulfill our wholeness again. So when we look at ourselves and say, what have we removed? What has been ousted from our own internal national park that is causing our own system collapse? That is a worthy question for us to take a look at. So, of course, I had to look up wildness, right? The word wild and wildness. And also tamed, the word tamed. Artemis is untamed. And tamed means reduced from a state of native wildness. So tamed is when some external comes on to say that something in its natural state or form should somehow be inhibited or changed. And wild literally means living in a state of nature. It means not tamed or domesticated. Wildness should not be confused with chaos. That's what we think now, like, oh, that's wild. That's too much. That's crazy. That's over the top. It's chaotic and it's dangerous. We fear that sort of chaos. We like what's predictable. But the truth of it is that wildness simply means in its own natural state before any external construct says, it should be like this, it ought to be moved over there, there's too much of this, or whatever those constructs are. So wild means in its natural state. These are the gifts that this goddess brings, that Artemis brings, this bravery, this wildness, the ability to be spontaneous in the moment because we're not following, you know, rules that are given to us by some external construct. The presence to respond with the accuracy of Diana's bow right then and there in the moment. That is also part of our wild nature. The ability to aim and have intention, that determination, that focus, that power. Those are incredible gifts, and they come from a place of wildness. I would just so love us to reclaim that wildness and to recognize that power instead of thinking of wild as dangerous, bad, wrong, and needing to be put in its place. So, where was I? Yes, we need these things, this power, this focus. We need all of these things to go on our own personal hunt for what makes the world whole again. And there could be no more important hunt than that at this point in our evolution. And, you know, we tend to chide ourselves, right? We say, oh, you know, that's just me. The things I do, you know, are so insignificant. Or I'm just one person. What I do won't make a difference. But everything that we do makes a difference. Every single thing that we do makes a difference, both for the good and for the bad. And so that sort of heightened awareness of how we are behaving, the responsibility that goes beyond just the action in the moment, these are things to really be mindful about and to think about before we take that action. It's important when we think, oh, well, I'm just me. What my little thing's not going to make a difference. So this one little piece here, if I don't recycle it, it won't really matter. It's just me, right? We certainly don't have to do it all. We certainly don't have to fix the entire mess that we might find ourselves in. But we also should do whatever it is that we can. Because if we assume, and we can pretty much assume that many of us think, oh, what I just do is not going to make that much of a difference. It's just me, just one person. If everybody says that, there goes the whole game. So making the effort to be that one who is that mindful and takes that action toward that wholeness is everything. We don't have to try to fix it all, but we have to do whatever it is that we can. If we think of our own personal wildness, not necessarily as the rebel who wants to break the rules just for that sense of power, which, you know, I don't know about you, but I like breaking rules. You know, I thought I found a ministry for the goddess, for example. I like breaking the rules, and I like doing things a little bit differently than the mainstream does them. But it's not simply to be a rebel. Right? It's not the rebel without a cause. There's a cause here. And that wildness is what gives you the bravery to go ahead and do it, even though your entire family is not, or they're voting differently, or they believe differently, or what have you. If we think of our own personal wildness, whatever that is, from the way our hair curls and we can do nothing about it, to the way we like to eat and what is on the menu, to where we live and how we live, if we think of our own natural proclivities, our untamed nature, what happens before we learn out there that we're supposed to be a certain way? If we think of that part of ourselves as the wolves that got reintroduced to Yellowstone National Park and healed an entire ecosystem in just 6 years, each of us as a wolf in Artemis's pack of hunting dogs, then we are also on the hunt for balance and restoration. We can think of ourselves that way. We can think of our wildness as not chaos or insanity, but our true untamed nature, our nature in its wildness. So if you would, take a moment now, close your eyes and go within. And take a nice deep breath, another big deep breath. Reconnect to your grounding cord that we set down at the beginning of this service. And if you came in after we created sacred space, go ahead and ground yourself to the earth now. And then bring your attention up to your third eye in the center of your forehead. Imagine it like your actual eye, just like your other two. And then go ahead and open it up. Look out through it into your imagination and find that you are standing at the edge of a beautiful forest and the landscape is gorgeous. And everywhere you look, your eyes rest on something beautiful. And it is beautiful because it is wild, untouched by humans. This forest is in its natural state, and you are standing here preparing yourself mentally and emotionally and physically and psychically to enter that forest and go on a hunt to find your own wildness. You find that you want to know where that wild part of you is, that untamed part. It was there once, and most likely it still is. But perhaps it too got suppressed by all the rules and regulations and ideas, others' ideas, that you have to follow or believe you are obliged to in order just to get by. But you're here now to find the part of you that still follows its own nature. So as you stand here at the edge of this forest, this wild forest, in all its beauty and integrity, look within yourself now and bring to mind something that you know about your own wild nature, something that you would consider wild within you, untamed, something that hasn't changed about you no matter what has happened to you or for you or with you in your external world. Maybe it's like how you like to dance outside under the full moon, or maybe it's how you'd rather take a hike on the trail than go to a party at someone's home, or maybe it's that part of you that simply just doesn't like to follow the rules. Remember the part of you that is as wild as nature now. Oh yes, this wonderful part of you. You realize now that you don't have to lock that part of you away in order to get by in the world. You can integrate it into your life way more easily than you thought. You can make time to indulge this wildness, this natural state of who you truly are. So now, bless that part of you, that wild part of you, with a promise to put some of your focus there, either again or for the first time, or if you're already focused on your wild self, then promise to simply keep on welcoming and honoring the wild in yourself, and thereby the wild in the world. Welcoming and honoring the wild in the world, and thereby the wild in yourself. Because we belong together. And we are seeking wholeness in order to heal ourselves and in order to heal the world. So make that promise now. And go ahead and take a nice deep breath. Fill your lungs all the way to the bottom. And when you exhale, empty them completely. A nice deep cleansing breath. And when you feel ready, gently come back here. It's a good idea to cultivate that wildness. Interesting that I even use the word cultivate. The whole point is not to cultivate it, just to be wild. But to find that wildness and indulge that wildness. Mark off some time to just be your wild self. And we can remember what that's like, to be untamed. Because when we do that, then we fully understand how precious that wildness is in this world. And in a world where we are cutting down those forests almost faster than I can even think about. This wildness is crucial, crucial. So we can think of ourselves as standing on the edge of that forest, waiting. Our bows are ready, our bodies alert. Let us call the huntress.
Out of the strength and this world we will mend. Inspire the courage to let our fear go and let healing fly from Diana's bone. We are one in the spirit, in our stories, in our hearts. On the hunt, we each play our part. Come into my forest of mystery and wonder. Your sisters await you. Hear the thunder of the hearts calling to your white spirit. Echoing your power so you can feel it. Echoing your power so you can feel it. We are one in the forest, in our stories, in our hearts. On the hunt, we each play our part. Artemis Huntress, gather us near. Give us the skill to use our fear. When our sisters be safe, then the world is too. Brothers rejoice, the work includes you. We are one in the forest, in our stories, in our hearts. On the hunt, we each play our part. In the circle of the feminine, we share and we breathe. And now is the time to let our wild selves free. Let your truth and desire unfold as beloved Diana lends you her bow. We are one in the forest, in our stories, in our hearts. On the hunt, we each play our part. We are one in the forest, in our stories, in our hearts. On the hunt for equality, we each play our part. On the hunt for balance, we each play our part. On the hunt for wholeness, we each play our part. On the hunt, we each play our part. On the hunt, we each play our part. On the hunt, we each play our part.
Thank you so much, Colleen Renee. Colleen wrote that song for us today. Thank you so much. So my friends, let's think of our own wildness as those magnificent wolves that got reintroduced to that park. But you keep remembering that every time you say, oh, I really wanna, oh no, but I can't because. And sometimes we can't because, and that is true. But we censor ourselves. We hold our own wildness back. We are sometimes our own worst and often our own worst enemy inside our heads. So next time you feel a calling out to nature for any reason, indulge it, even if it's just the park across the street from your home. Think of yourself as one of those wolves. Oh, howl to the moon whenever you get a chance. If each one of us is one of Artemis's wolves in that hunting pack, each one of us accompanying that maiden goddess Diana on the hunt, we are hunting for that balance and restoration. And that is one of the most beautiful things we can possibly do. So my friends, may the gifts of the honored maiden huntress Artemis bring us courage and strength to protect the vulnerable. May Diana gift us with perfect aim that we may hit our intended goal. May the season of growth bring wholeness and restoration, and may the light half of the year bring the healing that all of us need. Blessed be.